The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 10th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because a hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me and I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. I have received this command from my Father. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. The assembly may be seated. In grace and peace to you from God, our Creator and our Shepherd, Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I, as an adult, have come to terms with the fact that I am an anxious person. I live with a lot of different kinds of anxieties, and I just kind of have come to embrace this as a part of who I am. Financial anxieties. Will I ever pay off the student loans that allowed me to stand here before you as pastor? My kids will find out one day. Social anxieties. We have professional anxieties, and then there's the personal anxieties. I know myself. I am a perfectionist. I was the kid growing up where if I got an A on an assignment, I would, after class, go up to the teacher and say, what about the plus, right? What does one gotta do to get the plus, right? Perfectionism is part of who I am. I also, in reflecting upon my early life, can really pinpoint the moment when I welcomed anxiety into my life. It was my grandparents, actually. And it's not their fault, it was their house, to better put it. My grandparents had this game. You may be familiar with it, called Perfection. I don't know if you've ever played Perfection, but its tagline is, can you beat the clock before the pieces go pop, right? Now, on the surface, it sounds like a really fun game for ages 5+ to learn your shapes, right? A pleasant way to kind of hone in your fine motor skills. In reality, it was absolutely 60 cents of pressure-packed, anxiety-ridden torture as you sat there and tried to match the pieces in at that time. And then you had this like glorified kitchen timer ticking down louder and louder. And if you weren't perfect, the pieces blew up in your face. And then the worst part of it all, you literally had to clean up your imperfection. That is a terrible premise for a game, but I can really say that was the moment when I realized maybe I'm not perfect, maybe I'm not good at everything that I do, and that's okay. And that's why I really come to appreciate this particular Sunday, a Sunday we celebrate every year, the fourth Sunday of Easter, called Good Shepherd Sunday. Because what we're celebrating is Christ who is perfect. What we're celebrating is a shepherd who is good, so we don't necessarily always have to be, right? Now, I do not connect closely with the image of a shepherd. I'm a city boy, after all. I didn't know many shepherds growing up. My experience of sheep was limited to the Lincoln Park Zoo, that little section, the farm section, which, by the way, was always our favorite place to go. That tells you how much of a city kid we were, blown away by, like, chicks and pigs and sheep. So, that's my experience. However, as a pastor, I've come to really embrace what it is the Good Shepherd actually is up to. The shepherd, as our psalmist reminds us today, leads us beside still waters and gives us green pastures to eat. The shepherd pursues us all the days of our lives. The shepherd protects us, in fact, to the point of death itself, laying down his life in order that we may be safe. the shepherd, we're told, knows each and every sheep by name, and we know the shepherd by voice and voice alone. And it's not just us, we're told today in the gospel, but it's everyone, even those that aren't a member of the flock yet, know the shepherd's voice and have a place in that flock. Then, today we have this moment where Jesus paints for us a picture of what it means for him to be the good shepherd. But in order to fully understand it, we have to understand what's going on. And what's going on is Jesus recently just healed a man who was born blind. And in healing this man, people are beginning to spread rumors. People are beginning to talk. People are beginning to question how exactly this man regained his sight. Because the religious officials assume that he's blind because of sin. His sin is why he's blind, and if not his sin, the sin of his parents is the cause. But suddenly, he's no longer blind. So who is this man, Jesus, who comes to sinners and who restores their sight, who creates wholeness once more? And as they're questioning, they actually question the man himself on multiple occasions, and they come to the conclusion that Jesus himself is a sinner. Why? Because he did this act of healing on the Sabbath. Rather than rest, he's healing. Therefore, now this Jesus guy is also a sinner too. And after some back and forth, we get to the culmination of this exchange where the man himself answers a simple question. How did he do it? How did Jesus restore your sight? And the response is maybe my favorite thing in the entire exchange. The man responds, "I told you already and you would not listen. Why would you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become a disciple?" Ooh, those are some biting words right there. You aren't listening. What, do you want to be like me? Because if you heard what was going on, you would become a disciple like myself. And that's the beauty of this whole scripture. That's the beauty of this healing. This man, marginalized since birth, listens to the voice of the shepherd, is made new through the healing, and then becomes a part of the community of disciples. As opposed to these lifelong people of faith, the religious officials, who are unable or unwilling to hear anything that Jesus has to say, to the point where their next actions is literally to drive him out of town. And it gets worse, right? Because we know this is but the beginning. Later, they're not only going to drive him out of town, they're going to end up trying to hang him on the cross, going to try and kill him. And notice I use the word try, because they're not quite successful. Because, as we know and as Jesus reminds us, the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Nobody takes that from me. Instead, I am the one who lays down, and I also have the power to lift it up on my own accord. This, you see, this is Easter for us. This is a prediction of Jesus' death and resurrection. This is the power of the shepherd, that nobody can take his life, and only he can resurrect life. Dr. Barbara Rossing, one of my New Testament professors, a beloved individual, calls this lamb power. Only the paschal lamb, only the true sheep, only the good shepherd has the power to both give and to take back life again. This thing we call resurrection. And we share this power as people of the resurrection. We share this power as the flock of God's beloved children. But it's important we hear today, be reminded, that the flock is not just limited to card-carrying members of St. Paul Lutheran Church, because we are a part of something greater than that. And that is a really poignant message for us today. Because today, as I mentioned in the announcements, is New Member Sunday. In other words, the flock, the community here at St. Paul, is welcoming new members in. But you're not just members here of St. Paul. You are members of the larger church, of the larger flock, the one flock with the one shepherd. It may be that you've chosen St. Paul to be the place where you experience community, but at the end of the day, this community serves the greater purpose of creating a space for you to find communion with God, to find communion with the Good Shepherd, to deepen your faith with the divine. Because that's what the Good Shepherd does. The Good Shepherd builds community, creates space for all people, even those that we mark as others, to belong. That we are all here because we are called as beloved children of God. We are not here because we're perfect. I know I'm not even here always because I'm good. In fact, I'm here because I'm not those things. And I need the Good Shepherd, and I need Christ's grace, and I need the Shepherd's love and care and mercy. I need the Good Shepherd who is perfect, who calls us into relationship together and with the divine, not because of the good things we've done, but because of all that the Shepherd has done. The Shepherd who has laid down his life and taken it up once more that we may be free from the power of death, who frees us from the sin and fear and anxieties of this life, who frees us to be the beloved children of God we were created to be, children of God that are part of the one fold. But before I finish, I want to also lift up, just because there's one shepherd and just because there's one fold does not mean we all need to be the same. That's the beautiful thing about this. God isn't saying here we all got to be just like each other, and if you're not, then you're out. Instead, God delights in diversity. God delights in bringing those in who are the others. God delights in bringing in the sinners. And God delights in bringing in people of various backgrounds and beliefs, because God delights in expanding that fold that all may come to know God's love and God's care that pursues us all the days of our life. And I know I've talked about the Good Shepherd in terms of community, but our experience and our faith is not just public, it's also personal. Listen again to the psalmist that we sang of earlier. Shepherd me, O God, beyond my wants, beyond my fears, from death into life. Our relationship with the Shepherd is also deeply personal. It's one where we can reach out to the Shepherd and seek what we're missing, or ask for help, or be supported in the midst of our fears and anxieties, that we know that we are always in community, even when we are alone, because God is always present. So today is an opportunity once more to celebrate the reality we no longer fear imperfection. We no longer fear death. Because of the Shepherd who is good, because of the Shepherd who is perfect, so we don't have to be. A Shepherd who laid down his life and picked it back up again, that we may know the fullness of resurrected life ourselves. So thanks be to God for this community. Thanks be to God for Elm Tree. Thanks be to God for all of us who are gathered in this place, part of this one flock, this day and always. Amen.